Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have got the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, your Weekend Warriors, Tony and Corey.
Well, Tony, it is the middle of September, and summer is coming to a close.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I think every time that you're getting towards the end of summer, it's a sad time.
It absolutely is. I was over in Central Oregon this week, and unfortunately, there are mountains of fires going on all across the state. It was so smoky. I am actually looking forward to rain a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could get a little bit of rain without having winter time.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping for like a longer fall. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. More of an autumn here in the Pacific Northwest, because we don't really have that. It's usually like summer, hot, and then rain.
Right.
That's kind of what it historically has been.
Yeah, and then winter, cold.
Yeah. But occasionally we'll get a second fall, like a second summer almost, where it'll cool off and just be a little bit warm. Chilly at night. I like that weather.
Yeah, with the leaves falling and changing colors, a little crispness in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like every 2 to 3 years since the kids have been born, we go out trick-or-treating on Halloween night, and it is literally freezing, pouring rain, and then like 2 years or 3 years of nice, and then that same weather pattern. It's like this awful, you know, torrential downpouring over Halloween night.
I wonder if that has a name.
I don't know.
You know, like El Nino.
El Nino?
Or Super El Nino.
El Chupacabra? I don't know.
Yeah. Chupacabra.
Have to check the Farmer's Almanac, maybe?
Yep, that's right.
Anyway.
However that it is that time of year that we are looking to wrap up what we've been trying to get accomplished all summer. Those projects, the last projects that you will get done before it's not nice enough outside to be out there doing it.
That's right. So Tony and I came up with a small list of things that you can do for last minute summer projects. Some of these things are on Tony and I's list. Some of them should be on yours.
Honestly, most of these things are on my list.
Really?
Yeah, it's so interesting. In one way or another, I'll cover that as we go across them, but this is a very common list of things that we'll be needing to get done on most properties around the end of the year.
Well, let's jump into the first one.
Yeah.
The very first one on the list is outdoor lighting. And, you know, when we first start talking about this, I think I had in mind landscaping, but you had something completely different in mind, in that you were talking more about putting a light on the exterior of your shop.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, as we move into winter, fall, it gets darker earlier, and you're not necessarily going to bed at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
so you got to have some light out there.
You know, when we first built the house, we didn't have a shop. And then after years go by, you know, you build a shop. Maybe you build some other structures on your property. And as you do that, you realize the need. You use them in different ways over the years. And now here I find myself going out to the shop after dark. And it's a really dark little corridor that I go from the back patio door to the shop door. It's lighted in each of those two places, but nothing in between. So something on the corner of the shop that lights that walking area there. And I may not even have realized that I needed it, except my sidewalk concrete area there cracked. Mm. And when it cracked, part of it dropped and created a trip hazard. A little, you know, 3/4 inch rise in that concrete there. And I'm going to have that concrete either re-poured or lifted back up. But because of that little trip hazard, realized I need to be able to see.
Put a light in.
So now I can just put a light in. And so, yeah, I have a little bit of outdoor lighting upgrade to do at my property.
That's a really good thing to do. Do you have electrical that you can tap into to install a light, or is it something you're going to have to do solar?
Nope, I do. I actually have power to the shop. So I can run up right from my outlet that's in there and put it right on the corner of the building.
Nice.
And I haven't insulated anything on the inside of the shop, so be very easy to wire and install.
Now, are you thinking about putting in a motion light or something that you could turn on and off?
Yeah, I definitely don't want to have to turn it on and off. I just want it to come on when I'm making my way out that way. And so that will be the easiest way, motion sensor.
I would give a tip for you, if you are going to install a motion light, is to also put it on a switch. Because there's going to be times where one of two things is going to happen. A, you don't want it on. You don't want it on to come on at all. So you want to be able to turn it off. And B, you might want it on a lot longer than it is scheduled for. You know, a lot of them have timers that you can set 10 seconds all the way to 5 minutes, you know. But if you're out there working and you need that light on consistently and you don't want to be keep waving at it every time it turns off, a lot of the motion lights have a setting that where if they're set to a switch, you can turn the switch off and then back on really quickly and they will stay on.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of a setting in there that's part of its wiring. You turn it on, then you turn it off, turn it right back on really quickly, and it will stay in on mode.
Interesting.
And then to reset it, you just turn it off, wait a minute, turn it back on, and then it's back to normal.
That would work really good in my situation out there.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. I would recommend putting a switch on it.
Having said that, I have recently, over the last 6 to 8 months, bought a few different accent lights that go in the backyard, and they're all solar, all the ones that I bought. One looks like this, you know, this little array of tiny little lights that you just put right in and amongst your plants, and It just sort of accents, you know, that corner of the yard when it's dark out there. You see these little lights come on. It's very cool. I like it.
In your experience, do the solar lights work very well?
These little ones do. If you're expecting them, the solar lights, to light the entire area for you, then you might have set the bar, you know, your expectations might be a little high. But if it's just enough to see the light and maybe you see it shimmering off a couple of leaves, then as accent lighting, it does really good. But yeah, if you're trying to use it to light your way, it either takes a lot more than you want to buy or it's just not quite that bright.
I experimented with the solar lighting earlier on. When I bought my first home, my wife and I bought all these solar lights to try and, you know, illuminate the patio or some different areas, because running outdoor low voltage wire is a project. You know, you got to have a transformer and then you got to run the wire and do all the stuff, and it wasn't in the budget. So we ended up buying a few of those fairly inexpensive solar lights, and they just did not work. I don't know if technology's come a lot longer since then.
Well,
that was a long
sure.
time ago, but the batteries, they would run for, you know, 15 minutes. And in the wintertime, I guess that's probably the thing here in the Pacific Northwest anyway. We don't get a lot of sun during the day.
Right.
It's raining and it's awful, you know, overcast. So those batteries just aren't getting charged up.
Yeah.
So next one on the list, Tony, is a quick deck or patio refresh.
Check. I also need that.
Yeah, you have a deck on your front porch, but you also have a back patio. What's going on out there?
The back patio is good. It's really good. We have the back patio cover. And so the back patio, we have we've got a little fire pit back there. And chairs around. The back is really nice, but the front wraparound porch desperately needs to be re-stained. It has, the stain has just no longer effective, and it's gotten pretty dirty, and it's dull, and it's starting to gray in a few areas that get extra sun.
And that really is something that you should get done now, before
sure,
the
yes.
wintertime.
Yeah.
It's going to see a lot of weathering throughout the wintertime. So getting it cleaned off and getting a nice coat of stain on that now is going to be very beneficial.
Yeah, it will absolutely make it last longer. The more winters it goes through in the condition that it's in now, the faster it will deteriorate.
See, I'm on the other side. I don't have a deck. I have a patio on my front and back. And one of the things on my front porch patio, it's all brick. And it has really developed a lot of moss. And it's grown in very, very thick. And I put moss killer on it, and it just comes right back. What I want to do is get that thing pressure washed, and then I want to put a coat of sealer on it.
Smart.
One of my coworkers does that. He says you only have to do it every 3 to 4 or 5 years, depending on how much it sees, how much weather it sees. But I'd say a portion of it's covered and the rest isn't. And I think it would just be really beneficial because it gets slippery in the wintertime when it's raining. You walk up that thing, man, that moss gets pretty slimy.
Sure, yeah.
So, and I've got the same thing going on in my back patio where I made a mistake. I paid my daughter to pressure wash our back patio, and she did a great job. She went to town on it, got it all clean. However, all of the sand that we put between the bricks, they call it polymeric sand. It goes in there, and then when it gets, we wet it down, it gets really hard. Not so much like mortar or anything or grout, but it's just sand, and it just gets really, really hardened.
Paverlock.
Yeah, Paverlock. It's a brand. So we put that down. Well, when we pressure washed it,
you lost it all.
It blew it all out.
Yeah.
Even though it looked great, I wasn't terribly worried about it, but I tell you what, over the last entire summer, it filled up with
organics,
organic material, dirt, and now it's just
growing weeds.
Growing weeds,
yep.
And, you know, moss and every little crack. The whole patio is green now.
Yep, I've seen it.
So,
I mean, I haven't seen it. I've seen that before.
Yeah. So I need to pressure wash it again and come back and put in polymeric sand. And I'm going to do the same thing as I want to do on my front porch. I'm going to seal it. I'm going to get a few gallons. I've got a really large back patio.
Take a few more than a few.
I know. I'll probably have to get about 10 or 15 gallons, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the whole thing. I'm going to roll it on. And from what my understanding, people that I've talked to said that it really makes a difference on how much protection it gets. And it looks a lot better for a lot longer.
Yeah, that's a good plan. That's a great project.
That's my last minute.
You're definitely running out of time to get that project tackled.
I know it.
So you got to jump on that right now.
All right, Tony, what else we got here?
Window and door weatherproofing. This is not something that I need to be doing at my house currently, but it's very common. If you're noticing any kind of heat transfer that's going on around your windows or doors, or if you're noticing, you know, a breeze or something that's coming in there, it's definitely the time to replace the weather stripping around your windows and doors, because in the wintertime, that is cold that will be coming in around those, in those openings, and it causes you to have to run the heat longer, and it's more expensive. This is the time to get that done.
Yeah. And even if you have, let's say, newer doors and windows, sometimes they require adjustments. All new doors that you buy, almost all of them, come with adjustable sills. Sometimes the strike and the catch on your door are off a little bit and they don't seal properly. So sometimes just taking a screwdriver and bending that little tab out on the catch for the strike plate will cause the door to seat against that weather stripping better. I actually had that situation in my entry door from my garage into my house. You closed it and it kind of rattled around in there. And I actually just stick a little screwdriver in there, bend that tab out, and now it sits nice and tight when the automatic spring-loaded door closes.
Smart. Yeah, so, that's a really good tip.
Yep. It's if you need more information on that, let us know. We've got a couple videos that we put together on how to
adjust your sill.
Yeah. Adjust your sill and replace your weather stripping.
Yep.
It's not a difficult project.
Nope. This is the time of year to do it, for sure.
Next one on the list, Tony, is garden and yard cleanup.
Check.
I know it's like one of those things. I mean, you got to do it.
Certainly something about it. I'll tell you, because we've got a lot of, we have a lot of those flowers that come up really early, like in their, I think they're called perennials, right? They come back every year, but they come out really early.
Yeah.
And they have like a flat, long, pointy leaf. And maybe they're lilies or something like that.
Yeah, those lilies do that.
Anyways, well, those, when those die after, you know, the first couple months of summer, the foliage stays there. It's just foliage. You have to cut all of that back down to really low, down to the mm-hmm. dirt, and then it comes back in that exact same spot. Those bulbs produce new flowers every year. So you can't just leave them there. You know, you have to go in and you have to trim all that old dead foliage out of there and prepare that for winter so that in the spring it can come back. And
yeah,
look
if you want it to look good next spring, do it now. Take care of it. You got to cut that stuff back. I agree.
Just one example of cleanup in the garden and flower bed areas that needs to be
roses,
done.
Roses, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have... You know, Portland, Oregon's known as the Rose City for a reason. It's because roses here grow like weeds. It's crazy. Well, I grew up in Michigan, and one of my friend's moms would grow roses, and it was a big deal. I mean, people would come over to see her roses.
Wow, really?
You couldn't grow roses there. I mean, it's just hard. It's very difficult. You got to wrap them, and you got to take care of them in the wintertime and cultivate them right. And she did it, and people would come over and see her roses, and I just thought that was such a cool thing. And then I move out here, and it's like, oh, they're everywhere.
Roses everywhere. Yeah,
they're literally.
Oh, look
weeds.
At that rose bush. Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
Yep, Rose City. So yeah, getting your shrubs cleaned up, cut back, trees trimmed. Now's the time to do it, right before fall. Another good thing to do now is to plant flowers. Plant shrubs and trees that you want for next year. Getting those planted in the fall is the best time to do it. You don't want to do it in the spring because then they're suffering all summer. You want to get them in there, get them seeded through the winter, and they will be thriving by next year.
This is also the time that you cut back those overgrown shrubs and trees. I've got a... dappling willow that, you know, when we first bought it, when we first bought it was just this cute little, you know, tiny 3 foot tall tree. And now it is enormous and we cut it all the way back and it comes back huge every single year. It's absolutely beautiful and whimsical, but you can't leave it untrimmed. If you leave it untrimmed, it will grow out of control.
Like that one?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's beautiful, but you cut it all the way back to nothing, and it will be that size again or bigger in the next spring.
Interesting. Yeah. It's pretty. It's kind of like very wild.
Yeah, it is wild. It's very whimsical in the way that it grows. Like this
Hakuro
one.
Hakuro Nishiki must be a Japanese plant.
It might be. Yep. They're very beautiful. Absolutely love them.
I like it.
But this is the time to trim them back as they're going dormant for the winter. This is the time to trim them back.
Right.
Because they won't be continuing to grow from this point forward.
All right. Next one on the list, Tony, is exterior paint and caulking touch-ups.
Check.
You don't necessarily have to repaint your house before the wintertime. You don't really want to. But we've got enough time left that you should walk around your house, put on a different hat or different glasses, and look at your house.
Take off your rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, look at it through a different lens. Look at it as if maybe you're looking to buy your own house. It's kind of a good way to do it. Or have a friend walk around the house with you and just look at things that could potentially look like they're going to be a problem. At least here in the Pacific Northwest, we live in a rainforest, and any imperfections, any cracks, any crevices that water can get into all winter long, it will. If you've got paint that's peeling or cracking, it's going to get worse. So now's the time to scrape that old paint away, put a coat of good primer on it, and paint it the same color as the house. If you've got some caulking that's cracked or shrunken, peel it out, cut it out with a knife, replace that caulking. You've got enough time left to do it this fall.
I was just walking around my property, actually, the other day, and I found more places than I wanted to find where the caulk has separated. Half of the bead of caulk stuck to the trim, yep, and half of the bead of caulk stuck to the siding, and you can see straight through there. That has got to get fixed. Otherwise, water is just running in there and soaking up in the sub-sheeting, and it's just a mess waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
You have
to. It will cost you more money.
Yep, it absolutely will cost you more money. You have to shore that up. And you can't just throw new caulk on top of old caulk. You got to pull the old, you got to remove the old stuff, cut it off, use a caulk remover or a box knife or something and get that old caulking off, clean it up, and then apply a new bead. And it's good for years and years, but you've got to get it done.
Well, there is such a thing, there is technique with caulking and some of those situations where yours has separated, it might be because it only had two-point adhesion. You don't want that. You want a three-point adhesion. So if the crack is too deep, what you can do is stuff some
backer rod.
Exactly. It's foam backer rod. It's got a weird name, but it's like this round foam that you would take and tuck into a crack. They make it in 3/8, half inch, 5/8, 1 inch. And if you've got a really large crack and it's deep, your caulking is just going to keep filling it in. You know what I mean? You could squeeze more in there, and you're not doing any good. You put that backer rod in there, and you'll get that nice three-point adhesion, and it will expand and contract properly with the substrate. So make sure you're doing that right. I'll guarantee you those cracks that you have are just too deep.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. And I need to make sure that I get that addressed before the sun goes away and the rain comes.
Yes. All right, next one is to clean your gutters. That's kind of it's one of those ones that you got to do all the time. But
yep, everyone has to do it. It's always got to get done. Unless, of course, you don't have gutters. Or if you have, like, leaf guard.
Well, I think even... I have always heard... I've never had leaf guard, but I have always heard that even with those, you still have to get up there and flush them out.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you what, last winter here in Portland, we had a nasty one. We got so much freezing rain. You remember that?
I do.
I had my roof leak because I had ice built up from my gutter. My gutters weren't draining properly. The ice filled up my gutters, and then it continued to back dam onto my roof. And I had it go so high up my roof, it was freezing into my vents and then dripping down into my attic and then down into my kitchen ceiling.
This is terrible.
I know.
That is a terrible situation.
So I had tons of water flowing into my attic. I didn't know what was going on. I got up there with a chipper. I was pouring hot water. I was boiling it on the stove, carrying it up a ladder and throwing it up under my roof to try to melt it.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. It was terrible. And I finally got it taken care of. But thank goodness I was home, because it would have just continued to pour into my ceiling. I would have had a lot of replacement.
That would have been terrible.
Sheetrock and insulation.
Got to stay on top of gutter cleaning. There's a lot of bad things that can come from gutters and downspouts that are not regularly cleaned and operating properly.
Absolutely.
The next one, Corey, is simple fire pit installation. I used to have a simple fire pit, you know, made out of blocks or pavers or bricks or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But you know what? I've moved on, as have you.
I have, yeah.
You also no longer have a simple fire pit. Tell me about your solution to simple fire pit.
Well, mine was just to buy a gas fire pit. Mine's gas.
Yeah.
It's easy.
And it's nice.
Yeah, I turn it on, push a button, click.
It's clean.
Yeah,
it doesn't have any smoke. It doesn't smell like, you don't smell like campfire after you get up from it.
That's the thing. We wanted to have, like, to sit on a fire pit, but A, you got to start it. And then B, you end up smelling like smoke.
Yeah.
Campfire smoke.
Well, my solution on my back patio for a simple fire pit was to buy a smokeless fire pit.
Oh, like those Solo?
Yeah, Solo's one brand. Brio is another brand. You can buy a smokeless fire pit, which it lights. The fire lights very, in my opinion, very easily, and it stays burning, and it burns nice and hot, and you don't get that smoke billowing onto you while you're sitting around. And you can have those smokeless fire pits right on your exposed aggregate patio or your wood deck. The bottom, at least of the ones that we sell at Par, the bottom of them do not get too hot, and they don't negatively affect the surface that they're sitting on.
Oh, really?
And so they're a little expensive, but they're definitely worth it. They work very, very good. You can have it right underneath your patio cover, and you don't have to worry about that, you know, having a fire under your patio cover.
Interesting.
It's good. Yeah, it works really good. Mine does. I love it. Mm. Absolutely love it.
And you don't, you know, have the smoke.
No smoke. I mean, it smokes a little bit when you first light it. But once it reaches a temperature, its maximum burning temperature, then the smoke is non-existent.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, it's a very cool
thing.
I like
having a real fire, but the downsides, you know?
Yeah.
All right, next one on the list, Tony, is to build an outdoor privacy screen. One of the things about wintertime, it gets dark so early that you're constantly inside and turning lights on. And then you got to close all your blinds because everybody walking down your street can look right up.
Yeah.
Or maybe your back, your neighbors or whatever. You just want a little bit of privacy. A solution to that is to build a privacy screen. And you can do that any different way. I'm looking at building one like a cedar fence.
It sounds like a fence.
Yeah, it's basically, basically a fence.
But it's in addition
not
to your...
Not as structural.
In addition to your fence. And how tall is this privacy screen?
The one that I'd like to build is about 6 feet tall.
Okay.
And then I'll probably plant some sort of vine climbing plants or maybe some arborvitae plants that grow fairly quickly.
I've had a discussion recently about building a privacy screen for the hot tub area in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a fence, but the fence is so far away that now, the neighbors or whoever, if they're standing on their back patio, they can see right over the fence, of course.
And just waving at the neighbors.
Yeah, the screen can be the same height as the fence. It just needs to be really close to the thing you're screening.
Yeah.
Another thought that came to my mind when we came across this item on the list is a curtain for my covered patio.
That's a good idea.
I would like very much, I've been considering it. Been considering the possibility of curtaining my exterior covered patio.
Curtaining.
I'm going to curtain it. I don't know if that's proper English. I'm going to apply a curtainage to the area, to the uncurtained area, and I'm going to curtain it. Anyways, I'm very excited about that. There's a reason why. It blocks wind, right? So if you're out on the back patio during the colder months, November, December, January, February, then you have a windbreak, something you can use as a windbreak, and it will also give you privacy on your back patio.
Yeah. Yeah, you could use curtain that way as an adjective.
It is it will have been, it will become curtained.
Curtained.
It will be curtained. And it will be curtains for me if I don't get it done before the end of summer.
You should hire someone named Curtis to get it installed.
And the very last item on the list, Corey, here is garage decluttering.
Yes.
And this is something, again, that everyone, I won't say everyone. There are certainly people out there with very organized garages that do not need to be decluttered.
You're not one of them.
That's not me. That is not me. I am definitely someone that must do garage declutter on a very regular basis. I have children who have moved out and then weren't able to get a place to live that holds all of the stuff that they own.
So they just assume?
Yeah, so they just assume dad'll hold on to it.
Garage.
Dad'll take care of it.
I guess if I lived there, I would assume the same thing based on your garage. I would assume that it's free storage.
Yeah, it's free storage.
Yeah. No need to organize it. Just huck it in there.
Yeah. I don't grieve upon them too much. A garage is a garage. It is used for whatever it's used for. I have a shop, which allows me to go do...
The purpose of yours is for storage.
Garage things in my
shop.
See,
I'm the opposite. You know this. My wife likes to park in the garage.
That's right. Yep. That makes your garage not optimal for storage.
It is also my shop. It's also my storage, and it's also my for parking.
Yes.
And I have a 1.5 car garage. I mean, I think they probably call it a 2 car, but it is not a 2 car.
Right.
You could maybe park 2 smart cars in there side by side.
Yes, smart cars. That would be okay.
But
or 2 Hot Wheels.
2 Hot Wheels. Bikes. I have bikes too.
Mm-hmm.
So the summer projects that eat up the garage space, I have had to get very creative on storage. I have to put things up in my attic above. I have these racks that I've built for different trim and things and all kinds of storage shelving. So if I don't utilize that properly, then wife can't park in there. So,
yeah. I gotta, and then it's curtains for you.
That's right.
And we don't want that, of course.
Absolutely.
Well, so this wraps up our show, Last Minute Summer Projects. We hope you got something out of here that you could use. There's definitely an opportunity for you here. Things that you can get done before the end of summer. If you have comments on this show or questions about any other shows or anything at all that you want to just talk to us about, you can reach us at weekendwarriors@parr.com. PARR.com.
Yeah, if you've got any summer projects last minute that you want to tell us about, feel free. Send it over. Thanks so much for listening.
Have a super great week.